Hey everybody, how's it going? It's John Barr with Prime Homes here, bringing you a whole new remake of the, oh, I keep it real estate, a renovation of the market update. Got some cool new tech, and John wanted me to get more involved into shooting some of these videos, and we wanted to kind of try to make this the market updates a little more entertaining. Bear with me here, kind of throughout this video and this audio, depending on where you're listening to this, going to be bouncing back and forth between slides and myself, and I'm not the best at it just yet. I'll get there eventually. John's given me some tips and tricks on how to do it, but you'll kind of have to just bear with me while I get this stuff kind of figured out. But depending on where you're watching this, if you're watching this on YouTube, fantastic. But do definitely suggest head over to wherever you get your podcasts and check out our Investor's Journey podcast. I'm sure if you're watching on our YouTube channel, you can see the videos there, but you can get them on the podcast as well, so you can watch while you're driving. If you're listening to this too on just the podcast, highly, highly suggest you head over to YouTube. Because if you listen to a lot of podcasts, and I've listened to several about economic data, and when they start spewing a lot of numbers, it gets very hard to keep track of all that stuff. And it's even better when you can see it on a graph. And if you watch it on YouTube, you'll definitely see that as well. But if you're looking to get it just delivered to your email inbox to where you can kind of stay with a slide a little bit longer, you head over to primehomes.com and subscribe to the Investor's Digest, and you'll get a link every month with the PDF slides so you can kind of view them yourselves, because it makes a lot easier to understand this information when you can see it on a data table. So with that, we'll kind of head into the presentation. So here we have the real estate market update for July 2020 here in San Antonio. Average sales price is sitting at $292,290. That's a 3.46% increase year over year. Median sales price rose to $244,000. That's a 5.6% increase year over year. And that's fantastic news to see median sales prices recovering. I just did a market update for all of the other four major, or all four major metros of Texas. And some of the others didn't look as great as San Antonio's did, where some were leveling off or dropping, where San Antonio is continuing to rise. So that's a 5.6% increase year over year. Total sales recovered to 14.1% increase, and that's to 3,800. Now, I want to talk about that for a second. The total sales in the last 2 months had really been falling off, because it's no surprise. You think about it, people like, well, how does this disease, this COVID, transmit? It's person to person, people coming in or being in close contact. So sales volume the last 2 months had been falling off. I think last month alone, it dropped by 20%. But it's no surprise, because if you're wanting to sell your house, you don't want to, but you're worried about the disease. The last thing you want to do is have a bunch of strangers coming in and out of your house and potentially bringing the virus in for your family. It's a lot of cleaning, a lot of maintenance. So if you can hold off a few months to do that, I think people are doing it. Well, they were doing it the last several months, but now you have a lot of this pent up demand of people that still wanted to sell their houses. And now I think that's what we're seeing, this massive increase, is because people are saying, all right, I can't wait anymore. I do need to sell my house. And it might be a precursor to people that are wanting to get out of their house before they hit any kind of economic trouble, because they want to get out from under this mortgage and downsize into something. I don't know what's causing it, but those are kind of my thoughts behind why we had such a massive increase in total sales volume. The average rental price is up to $1,588 to 3.7%. That is great, because the last couple months it had been really falling off. But rental space is something that we definitely still want to be in, and to see rental prices recovering to that, that is fantastic. Unemployment and employment. This is the big news for this month, and it's kind of shocked me as well to see the employment gain 76,000 jobs back from these last couple months, where things have been sliding, or when things really started sliding off come March, April, May timeframe. To see this big a number come back in June, that is fantastic. Unemployment, fantastic to see it recover by over 4% down to 8.5%. Now, that's still relatively high. And when you're comparing it to the last recession, where we peaked out at like 7%, I have a slide on it here in a little bit, we'll see. But we did see a huge spike up, and now we're seeing a huge spike down. where I was worried that things might continue to persist is if unemployment shot up to 14% and it hovered there and it stayed there. That'd be cause massive, massive problems in the economy. And that's one of the things I've always been talking about. If you've been watching these videos over extended periods of time, is unemployment as a precursor to what might be happening down the line, since real estate kind of follows what happens in the economy today. So sitting at 8.5, coming down from 14% is good. Still extremely relatively high, but we'll see how long this trend kind of persists. But I did not expect it to recover over 4% from this time or from last month. Now, months of inventory. It's another little interesting aspect that you can see about it or through the data, that months of inventory is way down. Now, some people said, well, hold on, I thought months of inventory goes up in recession. Well, it does, typically, but you got to keep in mind, real estate follows the terms, the trends. The last recession, stock market bottomed out in March of 2009. Well, real estate didn't bottom out till 2011, 2012 before it started rising again. And you'll see that in some of these later slides. So real estate follows what happens in the overall economy. A lot of this stuff is precursors to what could happen or where it might be going. That's why I say you need to pay attention to what's going on in the economy, because you have time to position yourself of what's coming down the road when it comes to real estate. So now, months of inventory is something that we use to gauge, is it a buyer's market or a seller's market? Now, they say your balanced market between buyer and seller, where neither one has really no negotiating power over each other, is 6 months of inventory. And what that really means is, if no new houses got listed and the same number of houses or demand was there, how long would it take for them to consume every single house on the market? So 6 months of inventory means no new houses were listed. How long would it take for them to buy every house on there, which would be 6 months? Anytime that number starts to fall below six, you're hitting what's called a seller's market. That means there's more buyers than there are sellers. So that's no surprise when you think about it, that, like, to my point I was talking earlier, people don't want people walking in and out of their houses. So they weren't putting their houses on the market. Well, that also coincided with everybody being cooped up in their apartments or smaller houses or smaller rentals for the entire month of March, April, and into May, to where, like, honey, we got to go. We got to buy a house. We got to get something bigger. We got to have a yard. We got to get out there. So now you have all these buyers wanting to go out and buy houses, but all the sellers not wanting people walking in their houses. So you had this interesting dynamic that just took months of inventory way down. And we listed a house this last summer or a couple months ago, right in the middle of this pandemic, and stuff was just flying off the shelves. I've talked with other realtors and they've said that it's just a crazy market out there, especially for rentals and for sales. So this is something that could potentially drive prices up even further than they already are, just for the fact that there's still so many people out there trying to buy, not a lot of demand. So people are just having to compromise and buy whatever they can get at the current time. Because you think this July is usually, June, July is usually the lowest point in the market where you have the lowest months of inventory. Or last month or last summer, we were sitting at 3.42 months inventory, and now we're at 2.27. So I'm expecting this is going to push prices up for a little bit before this unemployment really starts to hit some of the information, especially if the government can't pass any more stimulus. Like, eventually, these birds have to come home to roost of shutting the economy off for however many months and still shut down in several parts of the country. So I think the unemployment, the months inventory will eventually rise, but I don't know when that's going to be, because some people are still very fearful and they don't want to have people coming in and out of houses. That's just my take on what things are at. So the median sales price, and this is why for those that are just listening to the podcast, I say it's very important to get onto YouTube to see this, because we're looking at a 10-year graph from June 2010 to June 2020. So you can see what's called our selling seasons. So it goes up in the summertime, down in the winter, up in the summertime, down in the winter. And where you can really use this information is where we use it is, we love to buy houses in the low time of the month, because it takes us 3-4 months to get a renovation, get it back on the market so it can open up to all types of financing. We love to list our houses right on that March, April, May timeframe, because that is going to be the time of year that prices are really kind of hitting the high for the year before they start dropping down. They start to fall right around that August timeframe, and they fall down, get a little bit of a blip, in December, just for the fact that people are trying to buy a house before the end of the year. So November, they're putting those contracts in. So if you're listing your houses around that time frame, November is also another great month to try to get some sales volume, because you or get a house sold and under contract, because you do see a little bit of a jump there in December from all the houses in November. One of our buddies in the real estate market, Tim Allums with Keller Williams, one of his favorite things to do is if he can wait to put a house a week or two to put a house on the market, he'll put it on the market right at Thanksgiving. Because you think about it, what's everybody doing? They go eat all the turkey, then they get all tired, then they open up their phone, they start looking at Zillow. So he's actually been very successful at using that tactic to get a lot of his properties sold for his clients. So that's something that we have done once in the past, and it worked well for us too. So something to definitely kind of keep that in mind. Monthly rents, it follows the exact same trend where it goes up in the summertime, down in the winter. So a lot of times what we use this for is we love to end our leases on either March, April, or May. Every one of our leases are done that way because we'll structure it like we're renting a house right now. And the lease goes through to March of next year. It's not a full 12-year lease. I don't want a 12-year lease. I'm more interested in having it end March, April, May. And I always tell the tenants, and I've never had a problem with it, even if I'm listing it in October, I'll try to list it for like, okay, instead of a 12-month, let's do a 15, 16, 17-month lease. Or I will use like a kind of use as a trial period where it's like, let's do a 6-month lease. And if you want to stay, we'll renew for another 12 years. Cause I like to get them all on that time frame, because I want to be able to catch that next round of being able to increase rents. So that is something we've been employing and it works well. Little bit of a side effect to it that we learned, don't have them all end in March, because made that mistake when all of a sudden we had three tenants turn over, all upgrade to go buy houses, which is great for them. I was able to represent a couple of them, but the problem became now I have three houses that I got to lease all at one time, and leasing a house can take a lot of work, shifting through all the applications, all the tenants, all the inquiries, driving out to the house. So now we separate them all out between March, April, May, and I suspect as we get more rentals, I might shift that a little bit or bring on somebody to help me lease some of these properties, because it did become quite encumbersome this last spring when we had so many tenants all move out of their houses at one time. So the unemployment information, this is something that it looks like a mistake was made on the spreadsheet where this information was put on, because it just kind of looks, just jumps around, slowly goes up, slowly goes down, but nothing goes up like it did in just this last couple months with when COVID really took the market and everyone got laid off. It really kind of dwarfs everything else to where it looks like a mistake. But this is the information that I have been preaching for a long time that we really need to watch, is the unemployment data, for the fact that if people aren't employed, that means they're unbankable. They're losing cash and no bank's going to lend to them if they're looking to buy a house. So when unemployment spikes like this, and like I mentioned, those real estate prices bottomed out in 2011, 2012, but the stock market bottomed out 2009. Unemployment, you can see from the information, started falling several years before 2011, 2012. So it's a precursor to what could be reflected into the real estate prices. So that is information that we use. And I do expect this to roll over into the real estate market at some point in time, whenever some of these moratoriums on forbearances start getting relieved, that the evictions start getting pulled back. When we start getting to some level of normalcy of how things were, I do expect to see some form of real estate prices either fall or shifting or something happening. But I do know when you have a massive disruption where you just get this massive spike in unemployment, that can't go unnoticed in real estate prices forever. So right now, everything's kind of holding off, like you could see from the months of inventory data. But I do expect it to roll over into those prices at some point in time. Year over year appreciation. This is something that I started tracking probably a year ago into this, because I wanted to see, are we slowing down or are we speeding up in the overall trends of prices. So you can see coming out of 2012 to 2015, we really were kind of on a tear there where we were hitting 7, 8, 9, 10%. And then about 2015, things started to slow down where we were hitting lower lows and lower highs. So that was telling me that the real estate market was still appreciating, but it was cooling off a little bit. As we weren't, I think that's where you were starting to hit your more affordability issues that prices had been going up for so long, but wages weren't, where we were hitting 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% year over year appreciations. But I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't seeing 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% increases in wages either. So at some point you can't have prices continue to rise, even with lower interest rates. Eventually something is got to give to where people just can't afford houses anymore. And that pressure to prices to appreciate kind of starts to dissipate. So now where to market? I don't know. I can't remember how long this has been here, but it's our new little mascot we got here. John found, he said it represents my hair. If I go too long without a haircut, it starts kind of fraying out on the side. So I think that's his sign to me that I need to check out getting a haircut more often. But now the prices sold. So now the way we kind of look at where do we market or where do we want to buy houses, we really kind of look at this information as a guide to where's the most in-demand housing. So remember the number of houses that sold, that 3,800 houses, where did those all get sold from? And where was the most in-demand pricing? So you can see right now it's at that $250,000 price point. And you know, it was 800 homes. So you're talking a huge portion of the market. So for us, like where we like to buy and where we want to be doing renovations is we want to be in that sub 300 market. You can see how big of a drop off there is once you get into that 250 to 300 and 350 or 300 to 350 as to how there's just not that many houses sold. Now, while months of inventory is significantly low, if for the time in where we're at in the market, just from everything going on, these typically aren't in the twos. They're usually in 3s, 4s, and 5s as far as those months of inventory. They're not as in demand, but right now they are significantly low. So what's that going to do long term? I don't know, but I am expecting prices to increase in that, especially in that anything sub 300, to see a lot of upward pressure of prices to increase. Now, the other area we do the kind of look for this stuff in is by zip codes. Like, where's the most in-demand zip code? And for this month, it's 78247 and 239244. I mean, these are massive, massive zip codes. I mean, when you're talking a month's inventory below one for 78247, that is an absolute huge zip code. And there's a lot of inventory in that zip code, especially in 244, 249. Huge zip codes with no inventory. And you can see what these prices have done over 3 years, having these low months inventory. A lot of these zip codes have been in the months inventory or the top 10 for quite some time. But you can see that this appreciation that we've had here in San Antonio, that's kind of the icing on the cake for a real estate investor. Never really buy for appreciation. We typically try to buy for cash flow, but having appreciation is that icing on the cake that makes the deal that much better. As you can see in 2017, 78247 was just sitting shy of 200,000, and now it's just sitting at basically 230,000. So an extra $30,000 in appreciation, if you've been able to maintain cash flow and have a solid investment, is an absolute fantastic thing. So now I have the full list of all these zip codes from top to bottom of everything we track. If you guys want a copy of all that, shoot me an email at john@primehomes.com. I'll have my email at the very end of this, and I will send you a copy of the Excel file of all of the zip codes. So if you got a specific one you want to look for, you can get it there as well. So now the caveat to lowest months of inventory is the highest months of inventory. Now, not to say that these are bad zip codes, but it just shows that there's not as in demand. That means there's lower months of inventory. Now, seeing a lot of these in threes is bit shocking to see, because normally these are in like 4s, 5s, and 6s up into like 8s, 9s, and 10s in the past for your higher priced zip codes or where there's a lot more inventory. So it's no surprise with everything else on the data that there's no sales volume, that a lot of this month's inventory really dropped off. But you can still see these aren't bad zip codes, because you still do get some level of appreciation out of a few of these zip codes. So like the 78148 was at 205,000 in July of 2017, is now sitting at 219,000. So still some appreciation. But what we really tell people to use this information with is that if you have a lot of inventory in your area or your neighborhood that you're trying to sell, or the price point, if say you're listing at the 350,000 and you can see during, so let's go back 6 months, there's a lot of inventory. What this really says is like, there's a lot of competition. That means your buyer has things to choose from. You want to spend a little more money on your renovation in the areas you get good return, which is your kitchens and baths, your landscaping. You're going to want to do staging if you're renovating your house. You want to do professional photos. You're going to want to do something to make sure your house really stands out to all of the other houses on the market that are your level of competition. So if you're in an area town and you see, or a neighborhood, and you see that you have a lot of competition, look at those houses. Look at them on the MLS. If you have an agent, or if you are an agent, walk through those houses. See what renovations they have done, to see what your competition level is, to see what you need to do to go above and beyond to make sure when you list that house, yours is the one that people gravitate towards and put an offer on quicker. Because if you got 3, 4, 5, 6 months of inventory on the market, every interest payment every day comes straight out of your bottom line. So any day that you can speed that up is something you want to do. And we really get into those higher months of inventory and the higher price homes, which means you have hopefully higher margins, but you also have higher interest and higher holding costs. So you want to make sure that you can do everything you can to push that property over the finish line. So with that, that kind of concludes the market update for this month. Really appreciate any kind of comments you guys can leave us or me doing this video for the first time. All of our information is here. It's john@primehomes.com is my email. If you guys want a full list of anything or have any questions, please shoot me an email. Check out our podcast, Investor's Journey, wherever you get your podcasts, and head over to YouTube to get the free education that we put out as far as tips and tricks that we're learning, like I talked about in our business. That's usually done by my business partner, Jonathan Barbera, but I'll pop on every now and do these market updates, and I'm a guest speaker, I quote unquote, on our own podcast and YouTube videos of different topics where I might have a little more knowledge, or where we can have a conversation about. Again, please leave comments. Let us know what you thought of this new format in this new video, so we can go better improving that. And I appreciate you struggling through this first time of doing this format this way with me. And I'm sure the next videos are going to get a lot better now that I've done this and I get more used to using the technology. So anyways, we will see you guys next month. Happy investing.